Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh yeah, baby, we are in Media, Pennsylvania today. We're in Delco, and we're getting ready for our big night tonight, Politics and Pints. Me and Jimmy Failla on stage. And they release more tickets. You can get them at the door tonight if you want to swing on by. You should definitely join us. It's a big day. Big day in Washington. New Senate Majority Leader, but a lot like the old Senate Majority Leader. Yes, I'll explain. And former President and future President Donald Trump met with Joe Biden at the White House today. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And it's going to be a busy one because of the fact that everything in Washington right now is happening. I expect at some point we're probably going to have maybe future President Trump speak. So if you guys can monitor Fox News for me back at the main studio, that would be great. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some more cabinet announcements today. What's very interesting is Marco Rubio. So originally they said he was going to get Secretary of State, and now that has just been kind of crickets. And from what I'm hearing, there's a movement among a lot of Trump supporters right now to try to push for Richard Grenell, former Ambassador Rick Grenell, who was on the show a few times, trying to get him to become Secretary of State. So I don't know if that's a thing or if that's just one of those rumors, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is there's a lot of pushback to Rubio within MAGA world. And I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen. The other big rumors today are for Press Secretary Alina Haba. Is kind of the front runner for this, but she was on Fox News today and she said, well, you know, she lives in Jersey. She's got kids, young kids, doesn't know if she wants to do it, blah, 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 blah. So that's the latest gossip I have on that. And there we go. Now, there's some other big cabinet positions to fill, obviously. But Secretary of Defense is a big one, and Pete Hegseth gets that from Fox News. But he was also a military badass, and he's a guy who's been battling the woke military movement for years. So it's a bad day for DEI at the Pentagon, a very bad day for DEI at the Pentagon. And it's a good day for warriors, because this is a guy who's on the side of warriors and not on the side of drag queens. So if you're playing this Yoli Show home game, drag queens in the military lost a few points on the board today, but warriors gained a few points. He also is an outspoken critic of women in combat. I imagine at some point that will be a very controversial moment during his confirmation hearing. But he said it, and he said it recently, that he does not believe women should serve in combat positions. They should serve in other positions, but not in combat positions. Now, listen, you know, as a father of a daughter, two daughters, I really have no problem with my daughters never being in combat. Like, I'm okay with that. I really have no problem with that. And I know it's eventually going to lead to a big, at his confirmation hearing, a big blow up situation. But Trump doesn't care. I mean, Trump's not afraid of controversy. You know, he welcomes it. He does. He welcomes it, and he's not shy about it. So he'll go full charge right in. You know what I mean? But one of the badasses who did serve in combat is, or at least was willing to serve in combat, Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know what Tulsi's going to do. I don't know if Tulsi's going to get anything high up. I hope so. I'm really hopeful and optimistic that she'll get Director of National Intelligence or something other high up position. I hope there's a place for Tulsi. I really do. Because Tulsi, right now, there's been a lot of people who've been nominated for positions who I'd say are a little hawkish, on the more hawkish side. And I think Tulsi balances that out nicely. Because Trump's going to want a wide range of opinions around him. And I think that would be very key if Tulsi is given a seat at the table. I hope she is. I imagine she would be. She earned it. She worked really, really hard to get Trump elected. So I'm hopeful that she will get something. That would be good. Let's see here now. Oh, here we go. He did announce Rubio. Oh, there we go. 3 minutes ago. I should have checked my text messages earlier. Trump officially announcing Rubio as Secretary of State. There we go. All right. Well, the whole show, the whole beginning of the show, just scrap it from the podcast books. In fact, let's just redo the show open. Can we just do the show open right now? Just pretend like the first 5 minutes didn't happen. No, I'm serious. Let's just do that. Go ahead. Roll it.
You want me to roll it?
Yeah. Just roll the whole show open. We're going to pretend like the first 5 minutes of the show didn't happen. You think I'm kidding? This is great radio right here. This is Marconi level stuff here. We're just going to literally pretend like the first 5 minutes is, I mean, we could keep all this in the podcast. It'll be funny, but let's just completely start over.
All right. It'll be like when
they do the takes, you know, the best of takes or the edits, when you watch the movie at the end and they show all the stuff that didn't make it, only this will make it. Cause this is hysterical.
All right.
So here we go. Ready? Let's do it.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
So this is great radio magic here.
Magic,
baby.
Broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Breaking news! Breaking news on the show today. I am so excited to open the show with breaking news that Marco Rubio has been announced as the new Secretary of State, nominated by President Donald Trump. And I'm so excited to open the show with that breaking news. And nothing about who I don't know who's going to be Secretary of State, like what I said for the past 5 minutes. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. That's some grade A level brilliance right there, if you ask me. So there you go. It's official. It is my great honor to announce that Senator Marco Rubio of Florida is hereby nominated to be the United States Secretary of State. Marco is a highly, and he's not calling him little in this statement, just for the record, because I know some people were wondering that if he was going to throw in like a little Marco just for old time's sake, but that's not in here. Marco is a highly respected leader and a very powerful voice for freedom. He will be a strong advocate for our nation, a true friend to our allies, and a fearless warrior who will never back down to our adversaries. I look forward to working with Marco to make America and the world safe and great again. There you go. So, that's it. Marco is has been nominated as Secretary of State. That solves the mystery of that. Now, what that means is that it's going to open up his Senate seat in Florida, which is also going to cause a series of chain reactions with probably Kat Kamek, I would imagine, throwing her hat into to run for United States Senate, although she has her hat in the ring right now for Republican conference chair, which is the seat that Elise Stefanik had till she was elevated to the position of U.N. ambassador. But obviously, being a United States senator is much more of a badass position than Republican conference leader in the House. So Governor DeSantis will appoint Marco Rubio's successor once Rubio resigns from the Senate. He doesn't have to do that until he's confirmed. So there's time for that, obviously, until January or whenever, because he can't officially can't be nominated until Donald Trump's president. And then when he's president, he submits his nominations to the Senate. So you can't take it up till after President Trump is officially inaugurated on January 20th. And then at that point forward, you can submit the names. And I can't imagine Rubio being a sitting United States senator would have any problem whatsoever. It's been one of those longstanding Senate traditions, not always, but that they just treat their own because they're in the most exclusive club in the world, and they just instantly elevate their own whenever they're nominated for anything, whether it's the Supreme Court or a cabinet position. So there you go. That has that. And then, of course, the drama and the intrigue of who would run for the United States Senate seat if, say, Governor DeSantis were to appoint, say, a placeholder. And that is also a thing. Yeah, and Katie Britt pushing DeSantis to appoint Lara Trump to Rubio's seat. And that is where things stand right now. And it's going to be a lot of drama. It's fun stuff to watch, the palace intrigue. It really is. But I know that Kat Kamick is definitely interested in running for that Senate seat. She's a friend of the show. You've heard her on the show a few times. She's been on Fox News Saturday Night with me and Jimmy. Well, I mean, it's his show, but she's been on when I've been on with him before. and that's always been fun. So I definitely imagine that at some point we're going to get some clarity on that and names we throw in the ring. And you might be thinking about Byron Donalds, but I think Byron Donalds is probably going to wind up running for governor of Florida. And I think he'd walk into that seat. I really do. Florida is no longer a swing state. Florida is a ruby red Republican stronghold. That's a beautiful thing. You know, our buddy Scott Pressler has said he wants his goal to be to make Pennsylvania Florida, meaning he wants to make Pennsylvania as red as Florida is, a consistent red state. That's great. That's exactly what should happen. In order to do that, though, a couple things have to happen. Like, first of all, we got to sort this whole mess out with McCormick and Casey. Now, the lesser Casey still refusing to concede. What I am told by my sources is that there still is no pathway for him, and that even though this is going to trigger a recount under Pennsylvania law, it's still not going to lead to anything. Even if Mark Elias and his goons win on their anticipated challenges, like counting provisional ballots for people who are not even registered to vote, the numbers are still not there for him to overcome the Delta. That's what I'm being told from my sources. And I was just actually my sources sent that to me. I sent that to my source at Fox News, who's Dana Perino. And she wrote back and said Karl Rove told me the same. So it looks like McCormick is fine. He's in D.C. today. He's getting a Senate orientation. He voted for Senate leadership. It's a secret ballot. We don't know how they voted. But John Thune is the new Senate Majority Leader. In fact, let's open the show with that today. This is Senator John Thune. He is the elected incoming Republican leader. By the way, I'm not... Listen, you know, I'm going to give the president the benefit of the doubt on these cabinet appointments. And I'm a little nervous. These guys, so a couple hawks in the midst here. I wouldn't mind somebody like a Tulsi getting a seat at the table. But I want to give, obviously, you know, Trump won with a mandate. He feels like he's surrounding himself with the best people, and we'll just leave it at that. You know, whatever opinions I have, or, you know, I'm telling you, there's a 100% chance Rubio gets confirmed. It's not even a question. So Trump's made the decision, and that's that. Marco will become the United States Secretary of State. That's it, period. There's no way he will not be confirmed by the Senate. I don't think any of his nominees are going to have a problem. It's a Republican Senate. So if a Republican tries to cross him on that, first of all, he needs more than one. And I don't think you want to be in that position. So I think whoever Trump nominates, it's pretty much a done deal, fait accompli. You know, unless something so dramatic in their background comes up, but I would assume they've all been vetted at this point. So I can't imagine a single Republican. I mean, even if like a Mitt Romney crosses them, it's not going to change the trajectory of anything. They've got the votes, and they have J.D. Vance as a tiebreaker if necessary. So all of Trump's nominees are going to get through. They'll do the show. They always do the show. You know, they'll do the confirmation hearings. They'll televise it on TV. It'll be big ratings. It'll be a ratings bonanza. All the Democrats will vote no on Pete Hegseth just because he works for Fox News. And they'll all come out like America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and they'll come out and say he's not qualified, blah, 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 leaving out the fact that he actually served in the military and leaving all that out. And they'll just say he's just a dumb weekend anchor. He's not even a full-time anchor, not even a weekday anchor. So that'll happen. It'll be some fireworks, but mostly this will be a seamless process because the president's got the Senate, which is huge. So here's John Thune today after he won the Rick Scott was out after the first round of voting. And then it came down to Cornyn and Thune. And then after that, John Thune wound up winning the votes with the assistance of Mitch McConnell. And that's where it is today. A lot of people not happy with Thune. A lot of people not happy that Rubio got nominated. I'm just telling you, just passing that along. Just don't shoot the messenger. Just telling you, I've heard a lot of backlash. A lot of people are unhappy with both of those two names, John Thune and Marco Rubio. It is what it is. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be, at least for the time being anyway. Here's Senator John Thune, cut number two.
We have the team assembled. Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here. It's a new day in the United States Senate, and it's a new day in America. The American people have loudly rejected the failed policies of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda. And this Republican team is united. We are on one team. We are excited to reclaim the majority and to get to work with our colleagues in the House to enact President Trump's agenda.
Oh, wait, stop. We got more breaking news. DeSantis, how come I'm getting this on Twitter and not getting this from you?
What was the breaking news?
3:07 p.m. Somebody just sent this to me. Can you monitor breaking news, please? Can you just do that one thing? Tulsi Gabbard just got director
news.
Of national intelligence.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me because you're doing whatever you're doing, probably writing up the podcast description already, right?
No, I just sent you breaking news regarding
Bob in Pensacola,
the Florida appointment.
Thank you. And Johnny Z also, thank you. All right, great. So now we had to start the show all over again. All right, so start the show. Do the show open again. We're going to start the show fresh, okay? Go ahead.
Were you actually going again?
We're actually doing it again. Yeah. It's going to be great. All right, ready? All right, go ahead. Tell me when you're ready. They're just going to start the show fresh. This is a mess today. This show, the first 15 minutes are a mess. The worst 15 minutes of my career by far.
All right,
so,
ready to go.
All right, here we go. Let's do this. We'll just restart.
Cool. WOGL HD3 Philadelphia.
Studios,
where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
We're gonna keep
this is the next generation of talk.
Until we get it right.
Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Breaking news here on the show. I am so excited to announce to open the show with this breaking news that I called it, and Tulsi Gabbard has been named the Director of National Intelligence by President Donald Trump. A big win for America, a big win for the people, and a great way to open the show here on a Wednesday. Welcome back, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. All right, that's it. I'm not going to open the show again. We're going to get it right from here on out, okay? So Caroline Leavitt tweeting out the following just a few moments ago, and I really hope that she's going to become the White House press secretary. As of right now, she is the transition spokesman. Spokeswoman. Congratulations, Tulsi Gabbard. So that just came out a few minutes ago. I am pleased to announce that former Congresswoman Lieutenant Colonel Tulsi Gabbard will serve as Director of National Intelligence. For over two decades, Tulsi has fought for our country and the freedoms of all Americans. As a former candidate for the Democrat presidential nomination, she has broad support in both parties. She is now a proud Republican. I know Tulsi will bring the fearless spirit that has defined her illustrious career to our intelligence community, championing our constitutional rights and securing peace through strength. Tulsi will make us all proud. There you go. Tulsi, four-term Congresswoman, 2020 presidential candidate, New York Times best-selling author. Tulsi Gabbard is a veteran with three deployments to war zones in the Middle East and Africa. She has served in uniform for more than two decades, is currently a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve, serving as battalion commander, and leads her nonprofit organization, We Must Protect. Tulsi first served in elected office in the Hawaii State House of Representatives when she was 21 years old. Due to the attacks of 9/11, she enlisted in the Army National Guard. In 2004, she gave up an easy reelection campaign and volunteered to deploy to Iraq with the 29th Brigade Combat Team, where she served in a medical unit. So there you go. Congratulations to Tulsi Gabbard. That's really a big deal. Excellent. So if you want to follow for breaking news, Caroline Leavitt's got all of the deets, because there's been some fake news out there as well today. Like, there was a rumor going around that Tucker Carlson got press secretary. That's not true. That was not true. I'm rooting for Caroline. I think she'd be great. I think Alina Habe is incredibly talented, too. I just think Caroline has earned it. She's been a tireless warrior. And I wouldn't mind seeing Alina in the White House counsel's office or just continuing to represent Trump. But I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed if she gets it. I'm rooting for Caroline. And if she's the transition spokeswoman, there is a good bet that she'll wind up being the White House press secretary. That usually is how that happens. So there you go. That's big news. Big news on the show. And it's interesting how they announced Rubio and Tulsi pretty much at the same time. So they made the announcement for Rubio a little bit after 3, just as we were coming on the air, and then, or right before we came on the air, and then they made the announcement for Tulsi about 10 minutes later. So that's an interesting way that they did that just then. Also, Matt's telling me that coming out of Florida, Governor DeSantis, potential Florida appointees, according to Politico, Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez, Florida AG Ashley Moody, former Florida House Speaker Jose Olivia, DeSantis Chief of Staff James Utmeyer. Ron DeSantis will not appoint himself or his wife, Casey, according to Politico's report. One source said he would be shocked if Utheimer, who is currently in Italy with DeSantis on a trade mission, didn't get the post, his deputy chief of staff. Now, the question is, would he run then, or would he just be a placeholder until the next subsequent general election, which would be 2026? And that is the question, which nobody knows. So we'll see about that. And we'll see what other cabinet appointments get announced today throughout the show. Just so you know, I'm going to be on the air with you till 6 today. Oh, and by the way, this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, with 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VenariaDental.com. I'll be with you till 6 today, and then Michael Pelk is going to do the last hour because we got this big show here in media today. There are still tickets available at the door. So if you'd like to come, they released some more tickets today, come to the show. Originally, we wanted to keep it a little bit more intimate, but we decided with popular demand, let's open up some more seats. So you can still get tickets at the door tonight, and we'd love to see you. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. in media, and I'm actually broadcasting right now live from the media theater, which is really, really cool. So make sure you join us. You don't want to miss tonight's show. It's going to be a blast. We're all fired up to talk about a lot of different things. And I want to tell you about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, because it is a beautiful place to go with your family. And you know, it's my happy place. I love it. And I'm very happy right now that Tulsi is the director of national intelligence. I think that is incredible. Tulsi has been a great friend of mine, a great friend of the show. Tulsi has been gracious with her time coming on the show. And even at CPAC, she gave 2 in-person interviews. I was one of them. So I was honored by that. She's going to do a great job. She's going to root out the deep state and the swamp. And I could not be happier for Tulsi Gabbard. I really am thrilled. I'm so happy that she officially became a Republican. So happy that she endorsed Donald Trump. So happy that she worked hard to get him elected. And so happy that the president has recognized what an asset she will be to his team. But Cape May is beautiful this time of year, and the Grand Hotel is a wonderful place to be. And do you know that you have your own code you can use for midweek stays from now until the end of the year? It's promo code Zioli. You'll save 25%, and there's no minimum stay required. That's right. Now, you can't combine this with any other offer, but 25% off. It's amazing. And all you got to do is just call them up or go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and make your reservation. And always book direct with them to get the best rates and to use my code Zioli. You'll love the Grand Hotel. Heated indoor pool, beautiful restaurant, Hemingway's restaurant with great food, drinks. The people there are always striving to make sure you're happy. And Cape May, around the holidays especially, is absolutely gorgeous. They go all out for Christmas. Really, if you've never seen it, you'll love it. So it's a great place to take the kids. Thanksgiving break, you could even do Thanksgiving dinner at Hemingway's restaurant if you like. And mark your calendar. Our next live show is going to be December 20th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We'd love to see you there for that. So put it on your calendar. December 20th, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so there's been a lot of breaking news just as we came on the air today. It's amazing. That's why I love Afternoon Drive, because the news just keeps breaking and breaking and breaking. This is really cool stuff. So President Trump has nominated Tulsi Gabbard to be the Director of National Intelligence, and he nominated Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State. There is a rumor. Steve Bannon is saying that Kash Patel, who's also somebody you heard on the show many times, that Kash Patel is going to be the director of the FBI. Now, that has not been announced by the Trump transition team, but I will tell you that Bannon did predict Tulsi Gabbard would be the director of national intelligence. So there you go. I'm happy for Tulsi. I really am. President Trump met today with President Biden at the Oval Office. They had a nice chat. President Trump told the New York Post that they talked about a lot of different things. But here's a little bit of the audio from that of the meeting today. Cut number one.
Mr. President-elect and former president,
thank you.
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having a, like we said, a smooth transition. Do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today.
It's good.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And politics is tough. And it's, in many cases, not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much. A transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get, and I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Now, it's also important to know that President Trump said today when he spoke to the New York Post, although the audio is not available yet, but he said a couple things about their meeting, which I wanted to share with you. Oh, and Senator Thune said he's going to work to push Trump's agenda. Donald Trump reveals exclusively to the New York Post what he and Biden spoke about at their D.C. meeting. He said they really enjoyed seeing each other. President-elect Donald Trump told the Post Wednesday that he and President Biden both really enjoyed seeing each other when they sat down for a historic post-election get-together in the Oval Office. However, there was a chill in the air. Joe Biden's apparent cold shoulder to Kamala Harris continues. So I'll get to that as the show goes on today as well. But here's a little bit of what President Trump said. He said, you know, it's been a long slog. He said it's been a lot of work on both sides, and he did a very good job with respect to campaigning and everything else. We really had a good meeting. That's what I mean. Trump's a gracious guy. At the end of the day, we got to know each other again. The last two presidents of the United States discussed the transition of power on January 20th, with Trump telling Biden in front of the world's press that it would be as smooth as can be, following the Republicans' attempt to contest the results 4 years ago that culminated in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot. Again, I'm reading this from the New York Post. It's going very smoothly, Trump told the Post, of the process of picking officials for his second term, adding that the Republican transition team and the Biden White House enjoy a very, very good relationship. President-elect added that he and Biden did discuss two issues in which they have differed in the past, the war in Ukraine, which Trump has promised to end almost immediately upon taking office, and the ongoing war in the Middle East. I asked for his views, and he gave them to me, Trump told the Post. Also, we talked very much about the Middle East. Likewise, I wanted to know his views on where we are and what he thinks, and he gave them to me. He was very gracious. Trump also revealed that he and Biden are expecting to see each other again just before the inauguration, which the Democratic incumbent has already said he will attend. The Oval Office is so beautiful, and I do certainly look forward to coming back, former President Trump said today. Now, considering that the Republicans have control of the House and the Senate, it's a big deal, and it means that Trump's agenda is going to be able to move forward without question. Republicans are not going to oppose him, nor should they. I mean, he's got a mandate. There's no reason for them to oppose him in any way, shape, or form. So I know that there's a lot of people who are worried about John Thune, and that's fair. It's absolutely fair. And Senator Mike Lee wrote a really big piece about why he was backing Senator Rick Scott and why it was time to turn the page. And I get it. I do. But there's no way John Thune is going to block Trump's agenda. He just won't be able to. They'll remove him as majority leader. Trump is powerful. Trump has the support of the American people. He's got an overwhelming mandate. He's got coattails. He brought senators and congressmen into the House. You know, they won seats. So Trump's got coattails. And even though he's technically a lame duck, they know that his movement continues. This is why people have said, you know, is he going to try to stay for a third term? Is he going to try to amend the 22nd Amendment? Is he going to challenge it? No, because J.D. Vance will just pick up the mantle, but he's going to pick up the Make America Great Again mantle in 28. It's not like it's going to be where you had Reagan and Bush. You had two totally different agendas. And really, it was Reagan and Bush, the Reagans and the Bushies. Is that now? Are we seeing something else now about another announcement, Matt DeSantis, about Attorney General?
I don't have anything.
Matt Gaetz just tweeted out, it'll be an honor to serve as President Trump's Attorney General.
They just showed that on Fox.
They just showed that on Fox?
Yeah, wow. Trump nominates Matt Gaetz as AG.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There you go. Matt Gaetz will be the Attorney General of the United States of America. It is my great honor to announce that Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida is hereby nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Matt is a deeply gifted and tenacious attorney trained at the William and Mary College of Law, who has distinguished himself in Congress through his focus on achieving desperately needed reform at the Department of Justice. Few issues in America are more important than ending the partisan weaponization of our justice system. Matt will end weaponized government, protect our borders, dismantle criminal organizations, and restore Americans' badly shattered faith and confidence in the Justice Department. On the House Judiciary Committee, which performs oversight of DOJ, Matt played a key role in defeating the Russia hoax and exposing alarming and systemic government corruption and weaponization. He is a champion for the Constitution and the rule of law. Matt will root out the systemic corruption at DOJ and return the department to its true mission of fighting crime and upholding our democracy and Constitution. We must have honesty, integrity, and transparency at the Department of Justice under Matt's leadership. All Americans will be proud of the Department of Justice once again. So there you go. Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. That announcement just came out. So Rubio, Secretary of State. Matt Gaetz, Attorney General, Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. That just happened all within since we got on the air today at 3 o'clock. Trump also Truth Social the following. Congratulations to Senator John Thune, the newly elected Senate Majority Leader. He moves quickly and will do an outstanding job. I look forward to working with him and Senators John Barrasso, the Senate Majority Whip, Tom Cotton, Senate Republican Conference Chairman, Shelley Moore Capito, Senate Republican Policy Committee Chairman, James Lankford, Republican Conference Vice Chairman, and Tim Scott, National Republican Senatorial Committee Chairman, to make America great again. Tim Scott, that his job is the running the NRSC, National Republican Senatorial Committee, is going to be his job is going to be to get Republicans elected to the United States Senate. That's going to be Tim Scott's job. So there you go. It's all happening right now, and I imagine we might get some more announcements while we're on the air today. We're live in Media PA. We have the show tonight. It's our Politics and Pints. It's Jimmy Failla and me on stage tonight. You can still get tickets at the door. They are available. They open up some more seats. We'd love to see you tonight in media. It's going to be a great show. I pulled up in front of the Media Theater, and they have our names up in lights, which is pretty cool. So join us tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. No agenda. It's totally unscripted. We're just going to get on stage and joke around about all the craziness and probably make fun of lefties who are melting down and crying. And we do have some new audio for you of lefties who are melting down and crying. But I want to get your reaction to these big cabinet positions that were just named. How do you feel about them? How do you feel about Rubio, Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard? Let me know. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. There are probably going to be more developments, and we're doing our best here to keep up with them as we're also running a show. But that's a big deal that Matt Gaetz got the AG position. I'm a little surprised by it, to be honest with you. I really thought Matt Whitaker was going to get it, but who knows? You know, maybe he didn't want it. I was just assuming that because he was the acting AG and he was out there for Trump a lot. He was campaigning for him a lot. So there you go. All right. Let me play this clip for you. We get a lot of audio. It's a busy day today. Man, we are just loaded up. Let's see if I can grab this audio for you. This is now Senator John Thune, the elected incoming Republican leader. We'll start this over because I broke into it with the announcement that Trump had nominated Tulsi Gabbard. So let's just start that clip over. This is the new incoming Republican majority leader in the Senate, John Thune. You just heard President Trump congratulate him. Cut number two.
We have the team assembled. Good afternoon. And thank you all for being here. It's a new day in the United States Senate, and it's a new day in America. The American people have loudly rejected the failed policies of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda. And this Republican team is united. We are on one team. We are excited to reclaim the majority and to get to work with our colleagues in the House to enact President Trump's agenda. We have a mandate from the American people, a mandate not only to clean up the mess left by the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda, but also to deliver on President Trump's priorities. We will make sure that the president and his team have the tools and the support that they need to enforce border security laws and to remove the violent criminals who are wreaking havoc in every one of our states. We will work to make America prosperous again by streamlining the bureaucratic machine and overturning costly Biden-Harris regulations. And we will work to restore American energy dominance, not just our energy security, but energy dominance, which will lower costs and bolster our national security. I'm excited to get to work with this team right away. And I want to thank my colleagues who placed their faith in me to serve as leader, and to those who were supporting another candidate, I promise to be a leader who serves the entire Republican conference. We'll have an ambitious agenda, and we'll take each and every Republican working together to be successful.
All right, so there you go. He also took some questions, and he said, we're going to process President Trump's nominees quickly. We expect a level of cooperation with Democrats. Cut number three.
A couple quick questions.
Do you have any concerns about President Trump's cabinet pick so far, and what advice would you give him when it comes to choosing nominees who will pass Senate confirmation?
Well, as you know, the Senate has an advise and consent role under the Constitution, so we will do everything we can to process his noms quickly, get them installed in their positions so they can begin to implement his agenda.
Leader Thune, you said that recess appointments are on the table. That's a key demand from President-elect Donald Trump. Will you move forward with that?
Well, what we're going to do is make sure that we are processing his nominees in a way that gets them into those positions so they can implement his agenda. How that happens remains to be seen. You know, obviously, we want to make sure our committees have confirmation hearings like they typically do, and that these nominees reported out to the floor. But I've said this, and I mean it, that, you know, we expect a level of cooperation from the Democrats to work with us to get these folks installed. And obviously, we're going to look at explore all options to make sure that they get moved and that they get moved quickly.
Legislative filibuster remain unchanged under your tenure?
Yes.
How do you intend to balance maintaining the independence of the Senate with passing the president-elect's agenda?
Well, I mean, the Senate, as you know, is a, by the founders' design, a place where the minority has a voice in our process. And we will do the job that the founders intended us to do in the United States Senate and that the American people intend us to do. And that, right now, after this mandate election coming out of the American people, is to work with this president on an agenda that unwinds a lot of the damage of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda and puts in place new policies that will move our country forward in a different direction.
So the filibuster stays, which is good. And because I've always said it's important to keep the filibuster, and they're going to work on moving Trump's nominees, even if the potentially now potential recess appointments as well. So there you go. All of that is great, great news. So again, if you're just joining the show, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, Matt Gaetz, Attorney General of the United States. John Ratcliffe, who was announced yesterday as the director of the CIA. Here's a little exchange, a flashback, one of John Ratcliffe's best moments, demolishing Peter Strzok, Mr. Strzok, Peter Strzok, the FBI head of counterintelligence, who, of course, colluded to destroy Donald Trump. Cut number six.
The approximately 50,000 text messages that I've seen with your personal beliefs like F Trump, stop Trump, impeach Trump. Go ahead and confirm on the record that none of that occurred on an official FBI device or on official FBI time. Go ahead and do that.
Sir, no, they did. Many of them did.
Oh, they did. Okay, so
50,000, sir.
So really, no, I'll give you a chance at the end. So what you really meant to say was that when you said you never crossed that bright, inviolable line, what you meant to say was, except for 50,000 times, except for hundreds of times a day where I went back and forth expressing my personal opinions about effing Trump and stopping Trump and impeaching Trump on official FBI phones, on official FBI time. Other than that, you never crossed that line. I'm sure there are 13,000 FBI agents out there that are beaming with pride at how clearly you've drawn that line. Agent Strzok, are you starting to understand why some folks out there don't believe a word you say and why it's especially troubling that you, of all people, are at the center of the three highest profile investigations in recent times that involved President Trump and that you were in charge of an investigation investigating, gathering evidence against Donald Trump, a subject that you hated, that you wanted to F him, to stop him, to impeach him? And do you see why that might call into question everything you've touched on all of those investigations? Chairman, I'm done with this witness, and I yield back.
I'm done with this guy. That's Ratcliffe. He's going to be the head of the CIA. That's good. So we got to root out the swamp. We got to root out the deep state. Got to root it out. Tulsi as Director of National Intelligence. Ratcliffe as DNI. Now we got to figure out who's going to be NSA. I mean, there's still a whole alphabet soup of three-letter, four-letter agencies to go. But these are two solid, outstanding appointments. Two solid, outstanding appointments. Now, Matt DeSantis tells me that Polymarket has weighed in on Matt Gaetz's chances of getting confirmed. So Polymarket now has, you can bet on whether or not somebody will be confirmed as a cabinet pick. That's a thing. Yo, DeSantis, wake up.
The question they posed is whether or not Matt Gaetz will remain in Congress. And they say that there's still, like, a decent chance he'll remain in Congress.
What do you mean a decent chance? What does that mean?
That basically, if he's confirmed, he won't obviously be serving in Congress any longer.
Wait, somebody slip you a roofie at lunch again today? Like, again,
no.
You sound low energy. Would you get a cup of coffee?
I'm not low energy. I got plenty of sleep again. I feel great today.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. It's like, seriously, can you get this guy a freaking fruit juice? How about
anyway,
a Fresca? What?
A Fresca? Ew. No, that's disgusting. I wouldn't drink that.
All right. So, I mean, who's not going to vote for Gay? They're going to vote for everybody, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, they have 53 seats in the Senate. I would guess Susan Collins isn't going to vote for him. I would guess Lisa Murkowski won't vote for him. So two more would have
Romney
to peel
won't.
Off.
Romney
yeah,
won't.
There's three. And if you lose one more, you won't have Vance for the tiebreaker.
Who'd be the third? Or who'd be the fourth?
I don't know. I would have to see the list of senators, but I would not be surprised if someone else peeled off as well.
All right, do me a favor. Check out the list of the Republican senators. I'm just curious about this, if any of them, because those three have no problem crossing Trump, obviously, as we know. But I just wonder if there's any others that would. All right. So listen, as we continue along the show here, and we're busy, we got the media theater, where we got the big show tonight with me and Fela on stage. It's going to be a lot of fun. Emmons Roofing and Siding, your go-to contractor. And they're offering each and every one of my listeners a 10% off discount, inflation relief discount on roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, doors, and more. And here's the best part. Emmons serves our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. They are your one-stop shop when it comes to all things home improvement. And you're going to love the service. You're going to love the customer relations. And you're going to love the fact that Matt and Stephanie are there every step of the way. So reach out to them by going to emmonsroofing.com. emmonsroofing.com. Take advantage of the 10% off inflation relief discount. Because, yes, inflation ticked up again today. Winter's coming. And, you know, with winter on the way, you got to make sure your roof is secure. So get a free roof inspection. And if you have a property at the Jersey Shore, remember, winters at the Jersey Shore are brutal. So take care of that roof today or any damage that you have now before that cold air comes in and makes it even worse. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so since we came on the air today, we've had a lot of major developments, and you know the left is going to lose their freaking minds if they aren't already. So we'll get some reaction for you. I'm sure particularly Matt Gaetz is going to make them lose their friggin' mind. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. They are going to lose their you-know-what. What's interesting, the pattern here is, with the exception of Rubio, who is a senator, these are all, let me rephrase that. I mean, obviously, Gaetz is in the House and Tulsi was in the House, but in many ways, these are people who are, well, like take Pete Hegseth, for example, outsider, has not worked in the Pentagon or the defense industry. You know what I mean? So Rubio has been in the Senate and Tulsi was in the House, but then she was on her own. She's out there. They're not tied to, I think the theme here that I'm sensing is Trump is picking people who are not from the industry. You know what I mean? Like, he's not picking a Secretary of Defense who's a general or who's was on the board at Raytheon or you know, Lockheed Martin or something like that. That seems to be the pattern of picking outsiders. It's hard to say that a senator or a member of Congress is an outsider, but yeah, I mean, you can be an outsider within the structure of the establishment. The most establishment pick so far is Rubio, really, to be honest with you. I mean, that's probably the one. I think Trump and Rubio obviously got close. Trump likes when people who didn't like him like him. He likes converts. He's a big fan of that, people who are converts. Rubio obviously became a big one. But this also then is exciting because it opens up a Senate seat in Florida. Like I said earlier, that's going to be something to watch for sure. Who gets that? So we'll keep monitoring for you. But since we came on the air, Rubio, Secretary of State, Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, and Matt Gaetz, Attorney General, all those announcements came out since we came on the air at 3 p.m. today. Here is President Trump saying let me go to this here. Oh, yes, Vivek Ramaswamy. So the other big news is that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to deal with the government efficiency. All right. And this is going to be a big, big thing. So what they want to do, so they're calling it DOGE. D-O-G-E, the Department of Government Efficiency. Get out of DOGE. And these two guys, their job is going to be, and the left is mocking him because there's two of them to deal with efficiency. Do you realize how big this federal government is? I mean, at one point they tried counting all the federal laws that were on the books, and they couldn't do it. They had to give it up. Because there's so many federal laws on the books. They just, between rules that come with punitive fines and jail time and everything, they just stopped. That's how big. Our government is so big. There's no way one person could do it. And it's going to take a team, a very big team, to go through it. But they're going to be in charge of the process. It's moronic to suggest that naming two people for efficiency is not efficient. Like, stop it already. Plus, some of the greatest teams of all time have done things together as a team. So, but here's Vivek Ramaswamy. He's going to open a criminal investigation into U.S. feds who evaded the ban on gain-of-function research. Cut number 7.
So now we know what we should have known all along, which was that this virus, COVID, began in a lab. It is a shame that it took us to get as long as it did to get to this answer clearly. You want to know why? They used the threat of racism to suppress any iota of debate. 2 years ago, people ought to remember this right now. If we don't learn from our history, we will never get better. Big tech companies censored, mark my words, censored someone from being able to say online that this virus originated in a lab. Okay, this was in the name of preventing the spread of misinformation. What did we do? We actually created the spread of more misinformation. We have to learn from our history or else we're going to keep making the same mistakes. Free speech is a precondition for truth, and we got this one wrong. But it's not just enough to look backwards. Going forward, as U.S. president, I'm committing to deliver accountability.
So this is what he said, obviously, when he was running. You can stop it, Matt. Thank you. So he had said this when he was running, and now he's in a position of power in Washington to be able to ensure, as they go through the government efficiency, any departments that were engaging in censorship, any areas of government. So think of it. Two people who are committed to rooting out censorship, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, are both now in charge of rooting out government inefficiency. But as part of that, they're going to figure out the efficient departments, too, like the ones that were efficient at censoring American speech, at censoring our ideas, at censoring our debates. They will figure that out as well. And in honor of Elon and Vivek being picked as heads of the Department of Government Efficiency, here are some of the dumbest uses of your tax dollars. This is Senator James Lankford, as he talks about some of the things that the government of the United States of America is spending money on. Cut number 8.
Is this really how we want to be able to spend Americans' taxpayer dollars? We've set up a top 10 list that we listed out of some of the things that we just say. Okay, of the 50 different examples, and we don't try to go into every single spending area, but we lay out in the guide for federal fumbles 50 different examples and just try to ask the question, is this the best way to be able to spend America's dollars? And again, we've all got different perspectives and different ideas on it. I'm just asking a question. For instance, last year the State Department did a grant to Ecuador to host 12 drag shows in Ecuador.
There you go.
With American tax dollars.
Ecuadorian
now,
drag
may
shows.
Have different opinions in this room on drag shows. I'm just asking the simple question. Is the best use of American tax dollars to actually fund drag shows
yes.
in Ecuador
Absolutely.
With U.S. tax dollars?
Ecuadorian drag shows.
Is.
I disagree.
Last year, we actually did a different funding through the State Department that was actually done. Actually, this is the National Science Foundation. Excuse me, strike that. It seems like a State Department thing. National Science Foundation last year did a study of butterflies in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So we funded with American taxpayer dollars a butterfly study in Germany where we paid a Swedish scientist to study butterflies in Germany.
Good.
I'm not real sure why American tax dollars, that was the best use of that,
why
but that
not?
Was one of the grants that was done last year. Last year, there was also a NEA grant that was done to set up a display in Brooklyn for the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which, by the way, is not even an American band. And I'm not sure why we had to pay a federal tax dollars to be able to do that. My
right,
simple question is always...
Right let's just stop. The point here is that we've got a lot of waste. And Senator Rand Paul does this every year around Christmas time. He brings up his biggest list of the biggest waste of your taxpayer dollars. He does it every year around Christmas. And it's always fun to watch. So I hope Senator Rand Paul will get engaged in this process as well. Because there's so much waste. And there's so much corruption. And there's so much abuse. But at least now we're getting to the bottom of it. All right, we got a big 4 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Allsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.